Jim McGovern, I've read some very wonderful things. Now, you've been named as the top Democrat, the ranking Democrat. People think that means they smell, but they don't. It's a top, a top Democrat on the House Rules Committee. And the Rules Committee is a very important committee. I remember when Judge Smith, last time we were talking about apple picking, I remember when Judge Smith used to go apple picking. I'm that old. And when he didn't want a rule coming out of the Rules Committee. What does the Rules Committee do again?
Well, the Rules Committee basically is a traffic cop of Congress. I mean, every bill that goes to the floor from whatever other committee has to come through the Rules Committee. Sometimes we have the ability to alter the text. We decide whether amendments can be made in order or not, whether you have to, you know, whether it's my way or the highway, or whether you have a more open collaborative process. It also sets the time and terms of debate. It's probably one of the most powerful committees in the Congress. And it is a committee. You mentioned Judge Smith that is, you know, abused his power in the past. He would go away, you know, to avoid bringing civil rights legislation to the floor. There are times when it's been a place where we have, you know, moved legislation forward to expand people's rights and to provide people the kind of help and benefits that they need to get through their lives. We're going through a period right now under the Republican rule where it's being abused again. We're about to reach a milestone in Congress where this Congress will become the most closed Congress in the history of the United States of America. I hope if we get a chance to take over the Rules Committee that we will be more collaborative and more accommodating. I believe that we should have fair fights around here. And as I remind the Speaker of the House all the time, I represent as many constituents as he does. And so, you know, whether you agree with my idea or not, the Rules Committee ought to facilitate a process on the House floor where ideas of all kinds are brought forward and debated and then voted on, ideas I disagree with.
Now, Jim, you and I taught the legislative process to undergraduates and graduate students for years. And one of my favorite subjects was the closed rule and the open rules. You want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, open rule is, you know, anybody can bring an idea to the floor to vote, to debate, as long as it's germane to the subject. Under a closed rule, it's take it or leave it. It's whatever, you know, the leadership wants you to vote on, and you can't amend it, and you can't change anything, you can't tweak it. And again, we have had more closed rules in this Congress than any other Congress in history. I think that that's not good for the for democracy. It's not good for, you know, for the institution. I believe that if we could open this process up, you can't have an open rule on everything because nothing will ever get done. But if you opened it up and you were more accommodating, I predict for you that you will have more bills that would pass with a bipartisan vote. You would have, I think people would, some of the polarization would begin to evaporate because a lot of the polarization around here are people who are resentful from constantly being shut out of the process. And look, you know, when you're in charge, you want to win on everything. I get it. But you know what? Sometimes you don't have to. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you bring ideas to the floor, even if you don't think you can defeat it, or, you know, because it's the right thing to do. And I hope that if I'm lucky enough to be the chair, you'll see a very distinct difference in how this place is run. And I think it's good for Democrats. I think it would be good for Republicans, too. And it'd be good for the institution.
Now, the Ways and Means Committee, run by your colleague in the First District, and you in the Rules Committee, Western Massachusetts could be very important if
absolutely,
the Democrats
absolutely.
Get elected.
I mean, Neil will be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, although I should tell you that every Ways and Means bill has to come to the Rules Committee before it goes to the floor. But I look forward to working with him to making sure we've got some good bills to the floor, and hopefully we'll have a tax system that benefits not just those who are in the top 1% in this country, but more for the rest of the people in this country who deserve a little bit more attention from the Ways and Means Committee. I think Richie Neal will do a great job with that. But yeah, no, we'll be. We're poised to be in a situation, you know, that I think amasses a lot of, and I hate to use the word power, but a lot of, you know, I think we'll have a lot more kind of oomph here in Massachusetts. That will be kind of similar to when Tip O'Neill, you know, was Speaker and Joe Moakley was the Chairman of the Rules Committee. And I think that's good for Massachusetts. It's good for Western Massachusetts, but it's good for Massachusetts as a whole.
Well, they used to say in some of these districts, which were run by powerful Congress people, that if they put another thing in it, the whole district would sink.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you. You know, my district goes from Worcester out to the Pioneer Valley, and you know, we have some real serious infrastructure needs that need to be addressed. So we're not at the point of having too much that we're sinking. We need more investment in some of these areas. And again, you know, and I think a lot of the stuff that's going on in Western Massachusetts could be a model for the rest of the country, and we ought to highlight that. And you know, we ought to make sure that you know, we get the attention that we deserve. But look, I care very deeply about my district, and I want to make sure we're getting all that we, you know, deserve and are entitled to. And you know, I want to make that as much of a reality as possible. And I think being the chairman of the Rules Committee would help me with that. Now, having said that, look, I'm not measuring the drapes for the window, because you know, we've got 6 months to go before the election, and who the heck knows what's going to happen. You know, we have a long way to go before we start talking about what's going to happen when we're, you know, in positions of chairmanships.
You bet. You bet. Paul Ryan is retiring. We know that. What do you think that means?
You know what? I think he's retiring because he knows that even if the Republicans maintain control of the House, I think he's got an unruly part of his unruly wing of his party, mostly on the right, that wants a change, that's not satisfied with his leadership. So I think he would have to work hard to try to defend his speakership. And then if we lose, he doesn't want to be around. If they lose, he doesn't want to be around. So I think he's getting out, you know, because he doesn't see much of a future for him in the Congress. But I'll say this, I'm disappointed with him because, you know, I thought when he announced he was going to retire that he'd be a little bit more liberated and he'd open up the process in the House so it would be a little bit more, you know, accommodating to all kinds of views. And that hasn't happened. And I thought he would, you know, being liberated and not have to worry about reelection, actually have the guts to speak up against some of the excesses of the White House. And he just seems to be an apologist for, you know, every, you know, outrageous thing the president says and every outrageous thing that comes out of the White House. And, you know, I'm just very disappointed with that.
And as well, we're on the subject of retirements. I see that Stan Rosenberg, a man I interviewed not that long ago for an hour, has resigned from the Mass State Senate. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously what transpired there is very disturbing. But having said all of that, I mean, you know, Stan, you know, has been an incredible legislator for Western Massachusetts for many, many years. And I think he was a very forward-thinking Senate president. And he's my friend. And, you know, I think highly of him. And, you know, I'm sad that, you know, it has all kind of played out the way it did. You know, and I think I'm a little disappointed that some people felt they had to pile on at the end. I think Stan deserved a little bit more respect than that. But look, he made a decision, you know, that he thought was right, and I respect it. But I think he has a lot to offer still, and he's going to have to just find a way to, you know, channel some of his passion and some of his energy forward. But again, I've it's been a privilege to serve with him, and I have nothing but, you know, high regard for him, you know, in terms of what he stood for over the years.
And that's what makes you a mensch as opposed to some of the piler honors. Jim McGovern, always great to talk to you from Massachusetts 2nd District. And when we come back, let's go to Mueller.